Listen and stream the only talk radio, Freedom 106.5, for the only talk that matter.
Welcome. This is Freedom 106.5 FM, where you speak your mind just about 19 minutes after 11. And we're going to jump straight into Let's Talk Cancer with the Trinidad and Tobago Cancer Society. Now, today we are going to be discussing Global Hero of Hope with the American Cancer Society and Relay for Life. And let me first introduce my guest. It's someone that we all know. I grew up hearing her name all over up until this day. But let me introduce my guest, Miss Marcia Miranda. She's an entertainer, a presenter, a cultural ambassador, and the global ambassador for the Trinidad and Tobago Cancer Society to the Global Heroes of Hope Foundation of the American Cancer Society. Now, Marcia Miranda, as you all know, is a multi-skilled and multifaceted entertainer. She's a presenter, the cultural ambassador, and she is also the Parang Soca Queen to the world. I know you all know that. Now, she won the Parang Soca Monarch and been awarded for her many contributions to culture. She's from Tobago, a Bishop's High School student. This impassioned woman's life contributions include that of a teacher, a bank clerk, flight attendant, entertainer, and media presenter. Now, Marcia was diagnosed with breast cancer stage 3B in late 2004 and has since become a dedicated volunteer advocate, educator, and counselor to persons with cancer. Let me introduce to you Miss Marcia Miranda. Hi, Marcia. How are you doing?
Good morning, Harry. I'm fine. Good morning to all your listeners, your viewers at Freedom Talk. Thanks for having me back again on your station to highlight the work that we're doing with regards to cancer at the Trinidad and Tobago Cancer Society. How are you?
I am great. I'm great. Now, I am so excited about this morning's show because I don't know your journey. And a lot of us listening, we don't know your journey. We just hear Marcia Miranda and this strong woman who has overcome so many challenges in her life. And it's a pleasure to have you here this morning to talk about your journey as a breast cancer survivor. I am so excited.
Thank you so much. Well, luckily and blessed I am to be here this morning because in late 2004, I was diagnosed with late stage breast cancer. And it was at the time I knew nothing about cancer. Like most people who, you know, feel maybe we've come a long way now because people are more engaged and we're doing a lot more work to highlight and create awareness for cancers.
And the information is easily accessible.
That's right. And we're always in people's face. And thanks to radio stations like yourself, we get to go into people's homes, into people's cars and their offices. So, but at the time in 2004, I really didn't know much about cancer. So, but I knew that if you felt a lump in your breast, I mean, you hear that quite often, if you felt a lump in your breast, something may be awry. So I did go to have it checked because prior to that, some years before that, I did have a lump in my breast, and I was actually a flight attendant with BWIA at the time, our first national airline. And I was on a long layover, and I did feel the lump. But I, when I got back home, of course, for the time I was there, I was very anxious, scared, worried. But when I got back home and I did the test, it was benign. So that happens with quite a lot of people. You may feel a lump or cyst or something like that in your breast, but it's not to be ignored or disregarded or neglected or anything like any of your body. You must go and have it checked because just feeling it and knowing that it's there and you're not feeling any pain doesn't mean that it will go away. You must get it checked. So I did have it checked and it was benign, meaning it was not cancerous. These two words that people must be aware of when they go to their doctors, benign or malignant. Malignant means it's cancerous. Benign means you're safe. You know? Right. So I was benign way back then, but this time in 2004, when I went to do my test, my screening, my biopsy, it was malignant. So I did have cancer, and did the whole course that I was that was suggested to me by my oncologist. Now, while I'm telling my story, I just want to give people a little bit of advice based on my journey. once you get that initial diagnosis, the important thing is to find a team of people that you could trust, right? Speak to people who have been there before and find out who are the oncologists in Trinidad. We're talking about Trinidad now, or in whichever region you're listening to us in. Who are the oncologists, you know, that in recent times have been very vocal, you know, engaged, updated with the cancers and so on. Get that person. If it's breast cancer, find a good breast specialist that you can go to. And of course, if you're going to go into the public system, start getting into the public system, because it's going to be a long journey. Wherever you do, always have somebody at your side, a sister, brother, mother, you know, a friend, somebody, because from the time you hear the word cancer, you're going to get numb.
And I was thinking about that just now, and I was thinking that first knowledge of you being diagnosed with cancer, what was the feeling? How did you feel it? Were you speechless? Tell us how you felt when you had, well, Marcia, sorry to tell you, but you know, you are diagnosed. How did you feel?
Well, I think my initial emotion was fear. I really was afraid. Mm-hmm. What do I do? Where do I go? How am I going to get rid of it? Because I can't take a couple of Panadol or something and it will go away. So I know there's a journey ahead of me. So you have to calm yourself down. Okay, what do I do? And then the first thing I did is I handed it over to God, because I knew it was so huge. So I handed the whole thing to God, and then things started to calm down and I was able to take it step by step.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, ensuring that my family and my friends were on board with me. Because like I was saying, you know, there are times when you just go numb and there's like a whitewash in front of you and you don't know what to think, because in the back of your mind, you're still thinking, am I going to make this?
And that is something that would obviously run through your mind, because every time you hear cancer, and I'm speaking in general here, and guys, don't forget, you can get into the conversation. You can call me 627-3223, 625-2257, or you can even send me a WhatsApp message on 306-1065. Every time you hear cancer, because I had a friend, she passed away from cancer. She got it. I think she got it in her bones first, and then it went to the breast or something like that. But it took her really, really quickly. And we didn't know until like a few days before her death. And what was heart-wrenching is that she did not have the support. She didn't have the support. And you speaking, I believe that support is a major benefit that you should have.
When you say support, you mean like
she didn't have
so many different there's financial support. You know,
well, she didn't have the family support.
Well, that's tough.
Sad to know that she was going through this by herself, and apparently, like, she had the signs before. But I think she just didn't, you know, take the step forward to go and, you know, go and see an oncologist. And it pained me to know that she went through this by herself, more or less. And I know a lot of persons who are listening who have cancer are probably going through this by themselves. And let's talk support. What support system is there for someone who has cancer?
Well, first things first. There are many support groups in Trinidad and Tobago, starting off with the Trinidad and Tobago Cancer Society. We have a survivor support group. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, when you get your initial diagnosis, you're free to call the Cancer Society. Let me get the numbers here for you. At the Cancer Society, there's 226-1221, or there's an 800 number, which I will pull up shortly. I don't have it right now. Maybe one of the guys are listening, they could probably send it to me. I'm not too sure. I don't want to give wrong information. But I know the number is 226-1221. Mm-hmm. That's the number they call. So even if you don't call it Cancer Society, there's so many other groups. You could Google it, Cancer Support in Trinidad and Tobago.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you start off, because these support groups will have all these steps. and strategies that you could, that you need to move forward. And the first, you could go to your church. You know, you could go to the elders in your church, because I think the thing about most people when they get diagnosed with a life-threatening disease of any sort, any form, is fear, you know.
Yeah.
Because like your friend, I think the thing there with her is fear. So you tend to ignore it. You hope it will go away, you know. You just don't want to deal with it. Like a lot of other issues in our lives that are uncomfortable, you don't want to deal with it. So you prefer not to bring it to the forefront. I'll just give you a quick example. While I was going through my cancer journey, all right, and out there with the Cancer Society as an advocate, as an educator, as fast as I learned things from my survivors group and from the society, I would go out into organizations, schools and stuff and share my information. And would you believe that my sister, I can't remember sharing this with you the last time, but my sister who lives in Tobago, because my family's from Tobago. My sister was in Tobago and she was getting a lot of pain and discomfort. And my mother kept asking her, let's go to the doctor, let's go to the doctor. And she was like, no, 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 it's a fibroid, it's a fibroid, it's a fibroid. And it turned out some months later with this imaginary fibroid that the girl had endometrial cancer. Now, by the time she got that, because in cancer, early detection is the best prevention.
It's the best protection.
Meaning that when you get it early, there's about an 80% chance that you'll survive the cancer.
Dr. Asante, she mentioned that last week, I think, that early detection is way better. You have a have a chance. You have a
much better chance of survival.
But Marcia, and we are. We were getting a call just now.
Sure,
but
go right ahead.
Guys, don't forget you can call us 627-3223-625-2257. Let's see who's there. Hi, good morning. You're live.
Hi, Ms. Kavi.
Yeah. Morning. Morning.
Hey, I'm morning to your guest, to your cancer guest on the. All right. The way you were saying just now, that true fact in us. You know, sometimes when we're not aware of the full the full knowledge of a particular disease or complaint, you tend to panic. But some people, by the time they hear certain diseases, they panic immediately.
Yeah.
And to me, the panic does cause, you know, it causes more, you know, it causes more damage in a way, because at the end of the day, the panic, now remember, within panic, you have certain hormones that not healthy, you know, the state of your mind, put it up in it. Not contributing to something like cancer, like a cancer, that kind of like a hormonal imbalance. So they kind of make it worse, because they tend to kind of complicate it more. But how, I mean, preventing your panicking, what do you think is a good idea? I think it's more to like the people be, make them more knowledgeable of the disease and know the whole run of it before, even before you even diagnose the cancer or anything like that. I think that would be the better thing. What do you think about that? Based on somebody who don't know anything and just find a severe cancer. Doctor, listen to your comment.
Sounds fast track. And he raised a valid question. So how could you advise someone on not panicking? What can they do? Because when you hear that news, and you and all know, right? When you hear that news, the amount of emotions and the amount of feelings and the amount of questions that you have, how can someone deal with that? What do you advise?
Right. So, as we were saying, knowledge is power. The Cancer Society is not there just for people who have cancer. We are an organization that's open to every single person in Trinidad and Tobago. So, based on what he is saying and how people feel as well, it's good to, you know, come to the Cancer Society and get information. We have huge, all sorts of leaflets disseminating information on all the different cancers, because that's exactly what it is. You said the nail on the head. When you don't know what's going on, you don't know about something and you hear about it, it's like, you know, if an earthquake is coming and you don't know how to deal with it, what do you do? You just stand up. What do I do? Stand up under the door, run outside, but, you know, that's the same thing. So, you know, gain some knowledge, because one thing we know is cancer is no respecter of persons. Anyone, any person can get cancer. It's not hereditary per se. You know, it has nothing to do with age. It has nothing to do with race, gender, nationality, nothing.
Nothing like that.
Cancer can affect anyone of any sphere, right? Whether it be this class, that class, whatever. So it's good. It's really good to get information on anything. You know, it's always good to keep yourself well informed, you know. And once you have the information, and I'm happy that he's listening to it, because I'm sure that if anybody in his family is diagnosed with cancer, he will know the first thing you do is you call a support group, right? Or you go to your doctor, go directly to whoever your GP is, and the GP will direct you to where you need to go, to the oncologist, whatever. Because that's where you need to go. You need to go to an oncologist, start off, because an oncologist is a doctor who specializes in cancer treatment, right? So you need to do that sort of thing. And because, yes, panicking will cost you if you don't want, if you want to sit down there and be fearful, you know? So, and but, thanks so much to your caller for bringing that up.
Marcia, after you got diagnosed, we're going straight back to your journey. Did it get easier? Did anything at all get easier? But before you answer that, we are getting a call. Let's see who's there. Hi, good morning. You're live.
Me again. Is there any way where we could bring this to the younger people, like the school age, where we could have some programs and maybe the secondary, because I don't know what primary school can, but I can't say that thing, you know, knowing the signs, as I said, the earlier detection. You know, sometimes you don't pay attention to certain signs of your body, and then up come it here. So maybe you all could look at the fact, maybe we could start from our primary school children, because I remember our convention children reach a pretty high level of communication, and you know, moving around with that level of that exam alone. So they are well fitted enough to, and even though how long any forms, to have an idea of the different cancer and different diseases and so on. And the doctor, listen again, bye.
All right, Fast Track, thank you so much. And he made a point, because there are children with cancer. Actually going out there and bringing the awareness, is that something that the Trinidad and Tobago Cancer Society have in place?
Yes, we do. We do disseminate information to young persons at schools and in organizations that incorporate young people in their fold. And something he said that touched on me. You know that there's an entire wing at the Mount Hope Hospital, the Wendy Fitzwilliams Children's Hospital, with lots of kids who have cancer. And yes, there are quite a few. And it's very disheartening, and it's pretty sad to see these young people, these children rather, you know, whose lives are just beginning and have to deal with this thing, you know, chemotherapy and radiation, and their whole lives are, you know, but they're resilient, these young people, and he's right. Their minds are very open and objective to receiving information. And yes, we do. I'm certain that we will continue to do more. But whenever we have events, like for instance, the Global Relay for Life that's coming up pretty soon, I encourage people to bring their young children, so that, you know, when your children see if things going on, they ask questions. For instance, the Global Relay for Life that's coming up in July, you know, when we start sharing information on the relay, because that weekend is going to be packed with information and activity around cancer. So children, is going to be a good thing to bring your kids to get information there. And we at the society will continue to share information. In fact, we may even do a lot more, in response to what the gentleman was just saying, that he's saying, did he say he's a teacher or he deals with young people?
He just mentioned that there are children in the schools. We should start informing them from a primary school level, so that they would be aware of it. So it's more or less just sharing the information. But that is a really good idea. That is very, very good. So that when the society goes to the different schools, and even at the primary school level as well, you know, children are more receptive to information at that age, because they always have questions about everything. Yes. And I think it's a really good start, so that even if they don't remember everything, they would remember at least one thing. One thing they would, right?
Yes.
We have a message here on WhatsApp. Hi, good afternoon, Carrie V. Good afternoon, Miranda. I have been procrastinating, even though I'm aware of the importance. What's hindering me, and I may assume other, with respects to the cervical screening, is the process. Oh, so she's asking if the process is painful, even the fear of judgment. That's for cervical cancer. How do I deal with this?
Okay, I'm going to start from the end. Receiving judgment, forget that. It's your health and it's your life. Put the judgment out of the way. That's their problem, not yours. Yeah. All right? So let's get to the process of the examination, which is called a pap smear. Right. For most people, it's not that difficult. For some people, it may be a little invasive and it may cause a little discomfort. But it's not altogether painful, you know, because at the age that you're asked to do your pap smears, which will be like from your 20s, you know, you should be able to do it with just a little discomfort, not much. All right. So, darling, stop procrastinating and go do your pap smear, because people should not die from cervical cancer. No way should someone die from cervical cancer. So you go and you get your results and you do your pap smear as often as your doctor suggests, and make sure that you live for a long time. All right? Wow.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Thanks so much for that message. Don't forget, guys, you can get into the conversation, get into the action. Send me a message on 306-1065. You can even call me at 627-3223. Or 625-2257. Marcia, she says, thank you so much with a heart.
Oh, that's so sweet. All the best to you, darling. Love you.
So we were talking about your journey.
My journey.
Did it get any easier after diagnosis?
Well, it got easier in the way that knowledge was available. Right. So I wasn't just walking around like, God knows, where am I? What am I doing? You know, like just dumb, whatever. You know, so in that respect, I'll tell you what was easy. Now, I know that quite a lot of people are not happy about sharing their diagnosis to people, but let me tell you something. I did. I shared, and it helped me quite a lot, because not only was I gathering information from other people who I shared with, but talk about prayers, girl. My goodness. You know, and that made it a whole lot easier for me. I had people praying for me. I meet people up to today who say, Marcy, I'm so proud of you, whatever. You know, I prayed for you. And I say, I know you did. I know you prayed for me. I could feel it. You know, I know there was a lot of prayers going on. And that's what helped me along the way. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I was saying just now, I had a really good team. I had Dr. Peter Bogle as my oncologist. Now, don't go all everybody swimming. No, yes, he will want to take everybody. But he was an excellent oncologist. And I also had Dr. Peter Funky Fun as my breast specialist. And together, as a team, together with the Cancer Society, as my support as well, and my family and my friends, it was phenomenal. It was really, really an easier journey than I had expected to be. Maybe things were tough, but I didn't even realize it. Yeah. I was just going along with the flow, you know? And it was building my confidence that I had all this support. You know, and I was very much encouraged to keep asking questions and Googling and getting information. So when I went back to my oncologist, so Dr. Bobel, why am I doing this and not this and so on, so on, so on? You know, and yes, it did. You know, it wasn't, you see all the things like that people worry about, like losing your hair and that sort of thing. Yes, you lose all your hair, every single strand of hair you have on your body. Including the little fine facial that you have. You lose that. God, he's really look kind of weird without eyelashes and eyebrows. You know? But, you know, I mean.
But we could do things for that. We could draw it on. Very easy.
I have it drawn on right now, yes.
And it looks fabulous.
And your eyelashes, and you just put on, you know. Yeah. Look at your buying eyelashes now, you know? So, it's nothing to worry about. And then wigs, you talk about wigs. Moms have no cancer, we're wearing wigs. So it's no big thing. You know, those are just superficial aesthetic things, you know, so don't worry about.
And now we're in 2023. And all these new additions, we drawing on eyebrows, we putting on eyelashes, we putting on all kind of different color wigs and hair. And it's a norm, because I know back then, it used to be a thing where, you know, you don't have any on your head and you're feeling a little subconscious and you don't want to. But now that is out the window, as I see it. I don't know if you see it as well, but see it as, you know, that is back then thing. Now it's okay. And people rocking their bald head and looking nice. And it's all good, you know? It's all good. But
and then people are very vocal about it. Women are talking about breast cancer.
Yeah,
you know, we are saying, you know, hey, chick, go and get your mammogram. You know, you know, we making it a woman thing. You know, like, hey, when you're a lot of women. This is a good point too. A lot of women choose to do their mammograms and their pap smears on their birthday as a gift to themselves and also to remember. That's something I must do on my birthday. So you get up on your birthday and you go see about yourself. Do your pap smear, your mammogram, and then you go to
that's
your lunch.
That's a nice way to look at it. I've never looked at it like that. I feel I should start to do that. That's a really good
gift
thing.
To yourself, you know?
But so, that's nice.
So, you know?
But Marcia, I want to find out, and a lot of us, you know, we'd like to know. Have you... Okay, I'm seeing me get another call. Let's take the call first.
Okay.
All right, try me back. 627-3223, 625-2257. Or you can send me a WhatsApp message on 306-1065. Marcia, have you ever had, like, something like a relapse? I don't know the name or the term for it. And if you did, how did you deal with it?
Okay, so... in the last 18 years, thank God, I have not had my cancer. Well, I didn't get a name for it, but like you just say, my cancer came back.
Oh,
you know?
Right.
I've not, thank God, because I did a lot of things to ensure that I could make my body stronger and my immune system stronger to deal with any foreign things coming into my body.
Yeah.
But right after my chemo, when it should have left and gone, I actually got a new a huge node here in my neck that was cancerous. So we had to go back at it, which was like about a month or two after my initial treatment. It continued to spread. The concern was it going to my brain, to my, you know.
Right.
So we did some additional work on it and radiation and stuff. And it's funny, and I tell my doctors that the area here where it was cut and worked on, it still feels, after all these years, it still feels kind of weird, but I'm always looking at it, you know, but no, it has not come back.
Thank God
you
for
know?
That.
And, but you know, and I don't want to be negative, but to myself or anybody, but I've heard stories of cancer coming back at people after like 17, 18, 20 years. I'm like, God,
wow.
That is a
cool. Yeah, I know.
You know.
After 20 years, boy.
You know, yes, I've seen it in some of the Facebook groups that I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that is a real,
Wow.
God, I can't imagine that. The only thing I could say positive about that is that, hey, I got 20 extra years.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, but that and all is a blessing because it have a lot of persons, they didn't even pass 3 months. Four months.
Exactly.
So, wow. That,
yeah, so
that
I tell my girlfriends who we call them our cancer chicks.
Yeah.
We want to record the journey together. I tell some of my cancer chicks, and it's not a negative word, really. I mean,
no, it isn't. It isn't because, I mean, it is there. It is there, and we have it, and we're dealing with it, and we are living. So,
yeah.
You own it.
So whenever we see somebody that has succumbed to cancer after putting up a good fight, and we do, maybe we shouldn't say lose the battle because we're all fighters, but you know, when somebody dies and we had hope that they will continue to live, you know, we always go like, you know, my God, you know, God is so good. We're really sorry that this person didn't make it, but look at what God has done for us, you know. And we often give thanks. I think most people who have been through cancer or any debilitating or life-threatening disease know very well that every day is a blessing and a gift.
Well, yeah.
Every day after that is a blessing and a gift. Because when you look back at the people who were diagnosed about the same time as you and they are gone, it's like, where? You know, you say, well, why me, God? How come you chose me?
Yeah.
You know, but then you realize, you know, that you have a purpose.
You have a purpose.
You know? And it's only, and it's God's purpose, you know, so.
Yeah. Because, I mean...
Yeah.
I mean, you would have been diagnosed with a lot of people around the same time.
Yes.
And I know a lot of them, you know, are not here, but you are here. But you see what you're doing. So he ain't ready for you yet. Like, he ain't ready for you yet, right? When you're ready for it, you're ready for it. But he ain't ready yet because you have so much more to do, so much educating to do as well. Because every time you hear your name come up, Miranda, every time your name come up, it's, you know, the fight against cancer and you know, the empowerment. Every time I hear your name, that's the first thing that's called. This strong woman who battling and beating up this thing called cancer. Bad, 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 bad. Right? And it's such a blessing to have you here with us. It's such a blessing that you can come here and share your story and share your journey, because a lot of women out here have been diagnosed with cancer and they don't have the support system. They don't have anybody to talk to. But to close off our...
They do.
Yeah, no, but when I say... So, because, yes, it will have everybody, but, you know, that strength to actually come out and speak and talk and rap with someone. Not everybody could do that. You could do that. Probably I could, but probably... I just call her name Samantha. Samantha might not be able to come out and be open, you know? And for you, you are here to empower these women, empower anyone who has cancer to, you know, come out and, you know, go and get that support and reach out and speak to persons so that they will be able to, you know, feel a little better about themselves. But to close off our discussion this morning, what advice do you have for anyone or anyone who is listening who has cancer and who are down and, you know, they need that little encouragement? What do you have to say to them?
Okay, so based on what you were saying just now, I just want to kind of extend it and respond as well. There's hope for everyone. As long as you have faith and you have life, there is hope. Okay? I am always telling people, call me. I don't mind if you call me day or night. As long as I'm awake and I will speak with you. The same goes for our people at the Trantobago Cancer Society. Anyone who would like to, you can call on somebody. We have counselors there. We have the survivors group. So please don't stay in your little corner and be sorry for yourself and let this thing continue to take over your body. That's all I am asking. That's all I am asking of everyone out there, every single person, whether it be you that was diagnosed or a family member or a friend, please call on us. I get lots of calls from people and I try to encourage people. And last, just finally, just to say, the reason that I was selected to be the global hero for the Trinidad-Tobago Cancer Society at the Global Heroes Foundation is because of this same work that I do, encouraging people, trying to make people more aware, getting my sisters to be vocal, to talk with their family members and other people. It is the reason I am here, and it is the reason we are doing New Relief for Life coming up in July.
All right? I know we should have highlighted more on that, but you know what? We're going to invite you again and soon to talk more about that. So, Marcy, I want to thank you so much for joining me for the past few minutes. I know it was a little short because we have so much to talk about, but I know you're going to be back here again. Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Thank you, Freedom Talk.
And continue.
Keep up your good work.
Thank you so much. Bye. Have a good one.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.